And, right? Yeah. Yeah. Yes, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. And then this letter is written to encourage and correct, and also just, and what I mean correct is it's letting them know, you know, how to act or how to behave like Christians. Right? Makes sense? All right. Now, Paul has heard of things from reliable sources. You know. Yes.
I'm
not there yet. 12. All right. So, and so he's heard things, right? It's not gospel because it's actually happening in this. He's heard things from reliable sources, different sources, but he's also received a letter from the church itself of asking questions. All right. Now they seem to be doing things. The Corinthians, they seem to be doing things perfectly. No, they've been seem to be doing things. Oh, no, that was a contradiction. So they're doing things and seem like quite a few things, not just a few, quite a few things wrong. It seemed like the church was probably filled up with divas, if you will. Ones who think that, oh, I do everything right and I can't do anything wrong and the center of attention should be on me. No, the center of attention should be always on me, right? The good thing is that at least some of them asked questions. Meaning that their desire to find out the right way to do things outweighed the shame of not knowing or the fear that they were doing something wrong. You know, they weren't afraid to ask questions. And questions are a good thing if you don't know, right? You should never be afraid of asking questions or figuring out, seeking the truth. We should never be afraid to seek the truth. So we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Jesse, can you read that? Oh. All right. Spiritual gifts. In dealing with things that the world sees as not normal. By definition, not normal can be a scary thing. Because it's not normal. It's something we're not used to. The understanding of spiritual gifts is the same question about spiritual gifts today. Sometimes people don't like to talk about spiritual gifts is they don't really understand, and if they don't understand, they don't talk about it, it's not relevant. That's not true. If you have a problem and you don't talk about it, you still have a problem, you just don't talk about it. Or you don't know something, if you don't talk about it, you still don't know it, you don't ask questions, you don't know what that's about. Others want to show off. Other people want to show off and misuse spiritual gifts. However, if they're done in the right fashion, there's nothing to be scared of. You know, God can do anything. We know this, right? God can do what seems like impossible things, but he does them easily. In verse 2, Aiden, can you read that?
You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led.
All right, so Paul here reminds them, when you guys did not believe in Jesus, you were misled by false idols, these dumb idols, right? The first time I ever heard the word dumb used with the original meaning was in school, right? And it was in a book, a play, and it was describing Helen Keller as being blind and dumb. I thought it seemed very rude for somebody to say that. But then I actually found out what the original meaning of dumb was. Does anybody know? Yes.
Mute.
Yes, they cannot talk. They're unable to talk. Now, it's not always a permanent effect, but that they weren't able to speak. So that's what in the Bible here they're talking about as far as dumb. It's not dumb and dumber. English. Oh. Well, fine. You could cheat with your Bible. That's fine. But, you know, the English language keeps changing, doesn't it? We can see by example, just this example alone. So, don't feel bad if you have to ask or have to look up a definition. Never feel bad about that also. So, these non-speaking, you know, man-made, you know, inanimate. Stop laughing. Statues, whether made out of wood or stone, whatever they're made out of, they're just nothing, right? They're false idols, but yet they lead fairly, and I like to use fairly intelligent people to astray. So what he's saying is, don't judge things like you used to. Don't judge things because you were led astray. Not all spiritual or supernatural things are from God. You know, the devil, he loves making counterfeit things. He loves making counterfeit things of God. You know, just like counterfeit money, it may look like the real thing, but it's worthless. Actually, you get in trouble for having it. It's more than worthless. It actually gets you in trouble. Verse 3. Lana.
Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit.
All right. So since there are counterfeit things out there, counterfeit gifts out there, we need to test them. But how? You might ask, how? If I tell you to test something, you need to know how to test it, right? So test them by the Word of God, right? So if it's from the Holy Spirit, it cannot go against His Word. Straight up, can't go against word. Goes against word, we know that's not Holy Spirit. But if it completely goes along with the Word of God, and the key word is completely, right? Completely, everything, you know, then, you know, we know that it could be from the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I got a boo-boo. But the devil can be very tricky. He can be very tricky. He can get enough where you seem like it's God, but it's him. So we need to be careful. All right, so verses 4 through 6. Ramen girl. All right, so there are different gifts. He's saying there's different gifts, and not everybody gets the same gift. Yet, they all come from the same Spirit. There are different ministries. People are different, right? So people have different needs. So the help would also need to be different, right? Makes sense? But these different ministries come from the same Lord. There are different activities, meaning that the same gift can be used different ways. It may not be the same gift, but if it was the same gift, it can be used different ways. You could use it, but it all goes down to having the same God. The same God that works everything together. Right? Verse 7. Jesse? All right. So another way we could test things is that with spiritual gift, profits all. Now, does anybody know the definition of diversity? The exact definition. I want word for word, like your Webster dictionary.
Siri. What does diversity mean?
Siri is so smart. Oh, maybe not. No, what's the simple definition of diversity?
Different. Huh?
Different. Variety. Sorry. I was letting them catch up. So variety, different. So a buffet style restaurant. Has anybody ever went to the Golden Corral?
Yep. It kind of sucks.
Yeah, the food's not the greatest, but they have a diversity of food, don't they?
When I went, there was a clump of hair and like the chocolate around it.
Ew!
Asian
Garden.
Asian. Lotus Garden.
Yeah, Lotus Garden.
Don't go, don't eat there. Just don't. Like the kitchens are. No, just don't eat there. Don't eat there.
Yeah, you never want to eat somewhere where you visited a kitchen. I'll just tell you that. Yes. So they have a direct. The point is, I'm trying to make is not picking out restaurants you want to eat at, is that there is a large variety of food, but they all have, that food all has one purpose, right?
Yeah.
Is to fill you up.
Munchies.
Do what?
Munchies.
Munchies? Yeah, so to cure the munchies, right? I like that. To make you feel full. Spiritual gifts are always to profit others. It's always to profit others. Not to lift up the one performing the gift. It's not to lift you up. If you're the one performing the gifts, it's not to lift you up. It's like, oh, look at me. Corinthians seem to have a problem with that. It seems like they didn't really understand that. Verse 8. All right, so we're talking about what?
Diversity.
Diversity of what?
Of
spiritual gifts, right. We're into listing the spiritual gifts, right? So wisdom and knowledge, they're the exact same thing, right? That's the question.
No, they're not, right?
They're not. They're similar. They're two different things. Yet, they're similar, but they're two different things at the same time. Knowledge is knowing facts, right? Knowing something. Obviously, it's in the name, right? But wisdom is knowing how to use those facts to benefit others. Now, I know parts of a car engine, right? I could tell you names of parts of the car engine. It doesn't mean I could make an engine go. It doesn't mean I could definitely break it. I could take it apart, no problem. But putting it back together is the hard part. And that's the wisdom, is putting things back together, or fixing things. Now, spiritual gifts are different than learned gifts. And what I mean by that, you know, there's a lot of people with a lot of knowledge, and we're not talking about that. It's talking about, not talking about, oh, well, they studied being a doctor and they know this. No, when you're talking about spiritual gifts, it's something that that person knows what they really shouldn't know. It's something that the Spirit gave them. Yes?
It's kind of like if I'm going to have, like, stomach surgery, I'd want, like, the new guy, he has knowledge to do it, but I'd rather have the guy that's done it before because he has wisdom to do it.
Yes, that is definitely wisdom, right? And same goes, but we're talking if a stranger, a complete stranger, you know, you had stomach problems, you had problem, complete stranger, oh, I don't know what to do, but God's told me what to do, and then cuts you open and fixes you, your stomach, and sews you up, right?
Wow.
What the heck? There you go, boom, wisdom, knowledge, he has it all. But that's spiritual gifts. That's spiritual gifts. Spiritual wisdom is also on encouraging others and encouraging somebody that you maybe just met. And understanding, or I understand that there's things that we're unsure of. You know, if we get a feeling in our heart, I completely understand that. But at the same time, I strongly encourage you, if something's definitely put on your heart, and you'll know if it's put on your heart, is that you'll regret it if you don't say it, if you don't tell somebody. You know, so be bold if something's been put on your heart. You know, somebody could really be blessed by what you have to say. In verse 9, Aiden? What?
To another faith, but the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing, but the same Spirit.
Okay, extraordinary faith. You know, we all should have faith, but we're talking about spiritual gifts. It's always about the extraordinary. So the times of trouble, when trouble is so hard and people have faith, it can and it will inspire others. Won't it? You've all heard of stories of great faith. Doesn't it inspire you? Yes? No? Right? Now, and then physical healings. You know, physical healings has happened throughout the Bible. And we know that God's not any less powerful, is he? He's just as powerful as when the Bible was written, right? Don't you? You'd think, right? So healings do still happen today. Sometimes we don't hear about them as much, or they're not emphasized as much, but you can find them, right? There's a ton of stories about people getting healed. However, just because God uses a person and God uses the weak to strengthen the strong, right? We know this. He uses just ordinary people. Just because he uses a person to heal another doesn't mean that that person's always going to be able to heal whoever they want. Because it's God who orchestrates this. It's God who gives them the ability to heal. Now, the other person that, you know, you'd say, a trouble you hit with that, let's say, is, oh, well, that person didn't have the faith to be healed. And a lot of people really get down on themselves because they feel like that. But God's will be done. And sometimes it's just not the right timing. And I know as things as far as here on earth, we don't really understand. Because we can't understand the full grasp of God's brain. You know, there's just so much going on. But God's plan, God has a plan. He has a plan. And he knows it's going to work. Asking the Holy Spirit for more faith to trust in that plan, that may be what God wants. You know, and that may be why there's extreme faith in healing in the same thing. I don't think it's that one can do with others. It's just that you need faith. And faith, I don't know, is hard. Healing is a hard one. It's because people do get feel down, but healing does happen. In verse 10, Cassia?
To another, the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another discerning different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues.
All right, so we're finishing up on the list. Now, the Greek word for miracles is dynamis. I think I'm pronouncing it right. It's where we get our word. Anybody could guess?
Dynamic?
All right, it's dynamis? Probably dynamis, huh? What does dynamis sound like? What? Well, dynamis is the Greek word for miracle. Right? But what does dynamis sound like?
Dynamite,
right? So explosive power. That's where we get the word dynamite, right? Dynamite. God uses normal people to do extraordinary things. Right? Miracles. They're extraordinary, aren't they? Now, prophecy is a message from God. Now there's basic, huh? That doesn't sound anything like dynamite. It is spelled D-Y-N-A-M-I-S. Not according to what I looked up. Dynamics. It could be. But, so just ruin my whole lesson. Might as well just go home. No. So prophecy is a message from God, right? It's a message about maybe the past. It's a message about the present. But I think a lot of people really focus or think of prophecy about the message of the future. Is foretelling future events. But they're all prophecy. Yes?
What's the Greek word for that one?
I didn't write that down.
Greek word for the what?
Prophecy.
Shh.
Oh, Michelle will look it up. All right, and then we're on to discerning spirits. So, discernment. Anybody's ever heard that word? Anyone? Anyone else? Oh, Cassia has heard of it. Lana, what is discernment would be? How do you explain discernment?
How do I explain discernment?
Yeah, well, how do you explain discernment?
I think Cassia would love to explain discernment.
Discernment's almost like a sad word. Like, I'm
indeterminate. Discernment. No. Not really. That's not it. But
discernment is telling the difference between good and bad.
Right. You guys are right. It's able to spot spiritual gifts if they come from God or if they come
from selfish intentions.
Selfish intentions, right? Fake ones, the devil. Y'all, if they're not good, yes.
The little girl who followed Paul around who could tell the future. She prophesied. But it wasn't from God. Well, it was from the demon. It's not like when Paul cast the demon.
Right. So, I mean, like I said, there's tons of counterfeits. Things out there. You know, we could go into it. There's tons, especially in the Bible, there's a ton of that. But prophecy also is about just a speaking a word from God. And then discerning spirits. Now, healing, miracles, prophecy, you know, not necessarily discerning spirits, can all be controversial. You know, people faking it to receive power and money. And the thing is about when people do this is that the truth will come out. I mean, maybe it takes a while, but the truth will come out. And these con artists drive a wedge. They physically drive a wedge between others in the gospel. And actually, I think they're going to be judged even harder because they do this to people, and those people will not go to the gospel because somebody did this to them. But by far, in my opinion, and I feel like most opinions, by far the most controversial spiritual gift is tongues. Now, it's kind of like opening a can of worms. It's messy, and they're all over the place and wiggly, but I'm going to try to do my best. Do what? Maybe from a fishing tackle place. I mean, usually it's a carton with a lid, but... yeah. So it's been about 1,970 years, give or take. But tongues seem to always be the most controversial. It's talked a lot in Corinthians, especially in Corinthians. The Corinthians loved speaking gifts. For sure. They for sure love speaking gifts. Now, the problem with speaking gifts is there's always this question out there. There's a question for the people watching a speaking gift. Well, are they doing it for the right reasons, right? Do they want attention? Or do they want God's will to be done? That goes through a lot of people's head. Maybe not all, but I feel like most people's head. Now, let's start out with what is tongues? It's a little part of your mouth right here. Now, the Greek word for tongues can also be translated as, anybody can guess? No.
Language,
exactly. You know, if you're speaking your native tongue, you're speaking your native language. On the day of Pentecost, Peter and his crew, his homies, were just rolling up, and they're just... that's what it says. No. Actually, it's weird. There's probably some translation that probably has that, but I was trying to be humorous. So they were talking at the day of Pentecost, right? And they're preaching, they're praising God, and the Holy Spirit began to speak through them in tongues. So let's turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 6. Jesse.
America.
Okay.
When this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language.
So speaking in tongues is speaking in an unknown language to you. Now, again, with spiritual gifts, it doesn't mean, well, you're bilingual, right? Which is amazing for somebody like me, because I cannot even get one language right, but they could get two. But it's speaking in a language that you haven't learned. Now, I don't know if anybody's been around a church what has speaking in tongues or... Yes?
I don't
feel tongues. He has. You haven't? Jesse, no? Yes, no?
What?
Speaking in tongues, has your old church, did they speak in tongues? Have they spoken in tongues? Sometimes they have a Holy Spirit night. Oh, that's a different tongue, but that's not the tongues we're talking about. Now, it usually, to some people, it sounds kind of like gibberish, right? I mean, you've heard of that, and you experience that? It kind of sounds just like people just making things up, right? If you will. Now, on the day of Pentecost, did it sound like unintelligent language? However, everybody heard their own language? God can make that happen, can't he? That's completely possible for God. All right, so there's a possibility. Or did Peter speak in an unknown language to him, but a known language just the same? You know, like if he was speaking Greek, but he didn't know how to speak Greek, maybe he was speaking Greek, and then changed the language to something else, to Aramaic or to... You know, I am old, but I wasn't there at that day. I think I was vacationing in Bam or something like that. Something was happening and I wasn't there. I got invited, but no, I don't know. I mean, it was a long time ago, right? So I'm not sure, and we're not sure exactly. But what we do know is tongues is real. There is a real spiritual gift about tongues, and it's in the Bible, and we believe the Bible, so we need to believe everything in the Bible. I remember there was one time we took the youth group to the summer camp in California, and one of the speakers began to speak in tongues. Now, there was a lot of confusion because this happened. A lot of kids, this is very first time they ever heard it, experience it. There was a lot of confusions, a lot of questions. You know, more questions that can fill my lesson. There's that many questions. The good thing is the next couple chapters, it goes through, especially goes through tongues. Because like I said, this is probably one of the most controversial gifts out there back then and still today. I find it ironic because humans, we must not really have changed that much. You know, times have changed, but we still have the same tendencies, if you will. The thing is that all spiritual gifts should not be scary if they're done right. If they're done right, they should not be scary. God is a God of order. He is not a God of confusion. Now, this is why Paul gives the Corinthians kind of an outline, especially an outline when they are speaking in tongues. It gives certain rules. Now, these rules mainly are in chapter 14, and we will get there. I just didn't know if I could tackle all that today. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. Aiden. All right, so there are different gifts, right? There's different spiritual gifts. We know this. Not everybody receives the same gift. I don't know if I should put this in, but there is a lot. And another thing controversial about tongues is it seems like a lot of people, and I can't stand it because they say, oh, no, it's proof. Speaking in tongues is proof that you are filled in the Holy Spirit. It clearly, to me, says that not all people get the same gifts. So not everybody can speak in tongues. So I think these churches mislead when they say, oh no, everybody can do this. And I think they're wrong. Because who gives us these gifts? Who chooses to give us these gifts? God, the Holy Spirit, one and the same. But yeah, he divides the gifts. Now, and we know that it's diverse, right? And we know because of this lesson, are you guys mostly new? Diverse means different, right? It's a good thing that has diversity. It's a good thing because there's different needs out there. Everybody needs, and everybody needs something different to go along with their life because they're going through different things, similar things, but going through different things. But they all have the same purpose. A spiritual gift should all be pointing back to God. If it doesn't, you know that there's something's up and maybe you should run. You know, because it all comes from the same one true God. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, Anna? This is how we're to judge, is that they all come back to work for the glory of God. And Cassia?
Romans 8, 28.